All right. This is Matt Martin. You're listening to the Wild Man and Steve Show.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wild Man and Steve Show starts right now.
So, Steve, I don't know if you saw, this actually is a true story that I'm saying, okay?
You're telling the truth for once?
Yes, yes, yes. I know using that caveat is always a, you know, pastors always do that, right? You know, I'm not preaching now, I'm telling you the truth, right? So, but this is a true story. Last week, you might have saw it in the weird news section, was that two deer ran through a cafe. And of course, all the people were running around trying to make sure they were safe and all of that. So you may not have heard this, but the very next day, the restaurant put up a promotion, and it wasn't even, they didn't even consult me on this, which they easily could have, because I would have came up with this for them. But they came up with $2 mac and cheese as a special.
You've heard it many times, folks, but this is officially the last episode of the Wild Man and Steve Show. That joke just ended it.
Now, wait.
We're done.
I already said that wasn't mine. They did it. I can show
doesn't
you
matter.
The article.
Doesn't matter. The fact is you chose to share it, so you now own a piece of that.
You know
you
what?
You chose to share it.
Do you know how easy it would be right now to remove you from this call on Zoom right now?
And do you know how quickly our stock would plummet on the New York Stock Exchange if you did? That's right, folks. Wild Man and Steve is a publicly traded stock.
You know, I'm just saying, just so you know, if we go back in time, and I'm sure Mike, who's with us here tonight, will be able to attest to this as well. If we go back in time to the days of Hannity and Combs on Fox News, if you remember that time, when they split up, you remember they both went their separate ways of their own shows. Hannity was the one that carried the torch. Combs like disappeared. So if Wild Man and Steve would split up, I mean, Wild Man.
Nobody would know Wild Man tomorrow. Oh.
Yeah, that you keep telling yourself that, buddy. I appreciate that. Hey, everybody. Wild Man here.
And this is Steve.
And you're listening to classic Christian rock. Steve, we were supposed to say it together.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, buddy.
Okay, let's try again. Hey, everybody. Wild Man here.
And this is Steve.
And you're listening to classic Christian rock. Steve, what is the problem?
I just don't like how you're doing this.
How I'm doing what?
Hello, everyone. Wild Man here. It's like, hey, this is my show, and Steve is just my sidekick.
Really? You're going to go there now? After all we've been through? The amazing artists we've interviewed, over 140 podcast episodes, 20,000 downloads? Really? After 3 years of Mr. Segway? Really? You're going to go there now?
Okay, I guess you're right.
Okay, let's try this again. Hey, everyone.
Steve here, and you're listening to Classic Christian Rock Radio.
Wow. Just wow.
We could climb so high, never wanna die.
All right. So, now, ladies and gentlemen, part of the show where Mr. Segway, rock and metal enthusiast, Latin teacher, does a great segue of our guests. And tonight we have a wonderful guest that he is going to segue one more time. And folks, I do hope that the guest stays on after he gives us this segue. So, Mr. Segway, take it again. Take it away.
Well, thank you, Wild Man. And, you know, I will give you a compliment. I like your name. I do. I think it's cool. Wild Man. I think that's really neat. I like my name. I appreciate what my parents gave me, calling me Steve. I appreciate that. But I got to thinking, you know, Wild Man, let's be honest, there's a little cachet to that, right? It's kind of cool. And I thought, why would it be cool for me? I thought maybe I should change my name. So I got to thinking about this. Big comic book fan, right? Big Marvel fan. And I'm like, ooh, you know, we're all rock and roll, man. And maybe I call myself Iron Man. Like, oh, no, I can't go Iron Man. Tony Stark already claimed that. And then I thought, ooh, I know. I'll call myself Metal Steve. But then I got to thinking, you know what? They already know me as Steve. So then I got to consider it. My microphone is made out of metal. So here's the deal. I'm going to start calling myself Metal Mike. What do you think, Wild Man?
I don't quite know what to think after hearing that. Metal Mike. It sounds that segue was so long compared to your other ones, which are much more concise, that it sounds to me like you were on some kind of a journey getting to that point of that segue.
Like some sort of metal journey?
Yeah, like some kind of a, I don't know, hair metal journey, something like that. I don't know.
Possibly.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's still with us after all that. This is Metal Mike with the 80s Glam Metal Podcast. Metal Mike, welcome to the program. How are you doing today, sir? So glad you returned.
Wild Man and Steve, man, great to talk to you guys again. I'm excited. We've done a couple different podcasts over on your show and my show, so it's great to be talking to you again.
Yeah. And, you know, Steve and I were talking about this before the show. I mean, before the episode, way back when we had you on and you had us on and all that. Since then, I've just been looking at some of the analytics on YouTube and your channel and everything. And your podcast just exploded, okay, with listeners. Wow. But Steve has a theory on why that is.
I do. Yes. And just it's because of us. You were on our show. I graciously, you invited me to be on your an episode about Whitesnake, right? And I gotta figure that's the reason.
Yeah. I think you're right. I bet you if we went back and historically looked at when the spike happened, it was probably right around that time.
we already did, Mike, and that's when it happened. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, being on the Wild Man and Steve show is the equivalent of what it used to be on the cover of Rolling Stone. That's just what it is, you know. Nice. So anyhow, welcome back. So before we get into the book that we definitely want to get into, I do want to ask you, as we just joked about that, but what do you attribute the attention that the 80s Glam Metal podcast has received over the last few years since its beginning? And it's just continually growing.
I think it's just persistence. You know what I mean? You guys probably figure that out on your show as well. I mean, you stick with it, you know, and it's a grassroots type of thing. You know what I mean? Somebody tells somebody else. And, you know, and now I've been doing this for like 4 years and I'll still get somebody. I just discovered your podcast yesterday. And I was like, where have you been the past 4 years? You know,
right.
It goes. I mean, with the way Google is, and if you just join Twitter or something like that, you know, maybe you'll see some of my content pop up. So it's just kind of random the way that people find us nowadays. So yeah, so it does. It keeps growing, and it's weird. It's like sometimes with my show, I kind of pivot around where I was really heavy with interviewing artists from the 80s, and then I went to lists and more interactive stuff like that. And then every once in a while, I'll pop right back and interview bands again. So I kind of mix it up, and I think that attracts a lot of different people for different reasons as well.
Yeah. I mean, and ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't caught it, he has a great podcast. He has great artists on that he interviews. But as he mentioned, he also has an artist himself. I've seen some of that as well, doing some cover songs together with some other guys for band. That kind of stuff is great on YouTube nowadays.
Steve, what do you think?
Wild Man. All I can say is, wow. So this is where the magic happens.
Yes, it is. Can you believe it? Wild Man and Steve, finally on live radio.
Classic Christian rock radio, that is.
Exactly. hey, come over here. Let me show you this.
Okay.
What do you think?
This is a broom closet?
You might see a broom closet. Buddy, this is your future office.
You're kidding.
Nope. The station manager posted the plans over here on the wall. Take a look at what this broom closet will be after the remodeling is done.
Dude, this is awesome. My own office.
Yep. Isn't it great? Hey, I gotta take a call. Excuse me for a second, okay?
Oh, sure, sure. I can't believe this. The plans for my office look great. Hey, wild man. I think you accidentally locked me in here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wild Man Show.
Wild man, come on now. This isn't funny. Wild man. Listen to the Wild Man Show every Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. His show includes classic Christian rock and metal bands, as well as current bands with that great classic rock sound. It may also include me occasionally, if he ever lets me out. Hey, wild man, come on.
But let's just get right into the book, A Hair Metal Journey. And first of all, I have a tendency, I've had to grow out of this over the years. He's showing this copy of it right there. There it is.
He started it.
Yeah. But I've had to grow out of taking things too personal at times if somebody criticizes. And, you know, when you get into ministry, you mature in that area. But I am fed up. I really am. And I'll just say it right now, because I think I have the ability to say that now, is that I am fed up with the criticism that the 80s glam metal receives.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen and heard so much. Now, granted, I do understand there were some extreme things going on with the Aquanet hair and all of that. And I believe all three of us were part of that. If we go back and look at our pictures. But I think we miss out on the incredible, revolutionary, groundbreaking talent that exploded during that time. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, you know, actually, when you started with criticism, I was kind of thinking you're going in a different direction, because I think today everybody just criticizes anyone who tries to do anything. You know what I mean? So that's a whole different can of worms. But yeah, I mean, honestly, at least from my point of view, I don't know what you guys are experiencing, but I think a lot of that has passed. I think we're kind of past that. I think everybody kind of looks back at this era a lot more fondly. I think in the 90s were a real tough decade, you know, and if there's another hair metal journey book, you know, I would focus on that more dark period or lost era of hair metal, you know what I mean? Because there was a lot of good music, but the bands were kind of, you know, passed aside and nobody wanted to acknowledge them because that was the past, you know what I mean? And some of the things did seem kind of goofy once we got into the more, you know, harder edge 90s or whatever. So I know what you're saying. I think there's a lot of criticism, but I still probably to this day, you do see people like, oh, Poison, they look like girls, or, you know, Striper look like girls. You know, you still hear that to this day. But I think for the most part, people have kind of gotten over it, realized that the music was pretty important. It was an important movement in music. And yeah, but I know you're always going to get that. And you know, to kind of circle back to what I first started with, you're always going to get that with anything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's people that are critical of you online. There's people that are critical of me online. You know what I mean? I've dealt with that. But you know, and you, like you said, you get a thick skin. And I think the bands themselves have thick skin at this point. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, and as I think about, you know, you've got your book, and certainly I'm going to be talking about the book here in this episode, A Hair Metal Journey. And but I think about when we all started our hair metal journey, whenever that may have been. If I put myself back in that mindset mid-80s, I'm listening to Striper, listening to White Snake, White Lion, all the guys. I don't know if you had asked me then if I thought that those bands would still be recording and touring 40 years in the future. I bet my answer would have been no. Much as I loved them, I bet my answer would have been no. And you realize it just blows me away. And of course, and then I'm always talking to people who are like, are you serious? I didn't know they were still around. You know, that's the comment that I get all the time. But you look at that, you know, I know David Coverdale just had some issues and they had to stop touring, but you know, he just released the 50th to celebrate his 50 years in music. Whitesnake released re-released the Purple album. Def Leppard had some new stuff within the last couple of years. Cinderella or Tom Kiefer, Twisted Sister, really D. Snyder. Again, it had some stuff. Stryper just had an album up for the GMA Gospel Music Awards, a hard rock metal album of the year, 2023. They were nominated, and they lost to Skillet, but still, they've even been nominated. So I'm just blown away. As you think about it, would you have really predicted that many or any of these bands would have been around 40 years in the future?
No, not at all. And I think the biggest one for me is, you know, I cover in the book, and it's no secret, I'm a big Kiss fan. And, you know, that's another band. I mean, they're going to do their final show in December, December 2nd, you know, that like 50 years as a band or whatever. And I'm just like, yeah, if you would have told me back then in the 80s, oh, Kiss would be around in 2024, you know, in makeup. And I'm like, yeah, okay, right. You know, I thought, honestly, if you would have asked me, I probably would have thought most bands would have went to like a change of style or just be acoustic. You know, I think when the Unplugged thing hit, well, that was a big thing in the 90s. I thought maybe that's where a lot of the bands would go. I didn't think they'd ever really get back into a full-on metal thing. But I think once you hit, you know, the early 2000s, I think the 90s were definitely done. People were getting nostalgic again and wanted to see this stuff. And that's when you saw the emergence of a lot of these tours. Even in, like, you know, we talk about Stryper a lot. I talked about them a lot with you guys. And that's what kind of when they kind of got back together too, was in the early 2000s. So I feel like everything kind of started to come back around again. The only problem, this is totally off topic, but I think the problem that we get with bands today that still make music, and I think Stryper is a great example. They make great music, but it's almost like their only competition is their previous selves. You know, trying to say? So it's like when you looked at like the big rush of bands in the 80s, there was a lot of competition amongst all of them. Even when the 90s first hit, there was a competition or a drive to maybe get heavier or get darker or do whatever, kind of like with Stryper against the Law. But now today, and I'm not using them as an example, there's other bands that are like this, Megadeth, Whitesnake, Kiss, all of them. When they do new music, they don't have the modern era to push them to try something different. All they ever really try to do is kind of create something that's similar to their old album. So it's interesting. In some ways, it's kind of cool because you get music that sounds a lot like their original style that they started with. But that's one kind of thing. Like, you don't get a huge variation in a catalog going forward from like an older band till today. Because you don't have those kind of outside influences anymore. So just a random thought, throwing it out there. Okay. Yeah.
stay on that for a moment. And I'd be curious, anybody, again, Wildman or Mike, whoever wants to answer this, but I think that's an interesting point. I hadn't really thought about that with those bands, not really maybe having that other competition or whatnot. What I also am interested in though, are new bands, young bands, that are drawing on some of those styles from the 80s and are really kind of grounded in that and yet doing maybe their own new thing simply because that's what young people do and in terms of their creativity. And I'm thinking about, you know, Greta Van Fleet, who is, you know, the modern Led Zeppelin. There's this young group out there called Liliac. Don't know if you've run across them, but they've got kind of a bit hard and dark, you know, kind of thing. So you do get some creativity in maybe the hair metal, glam metal, classic rock, all those. You do get some creativity there from some of those newer bands. Maybe not the classic bands are still putting stuff out, but some of those newer bands are taking those roots and then kind of doing something new with it and a little bit more of that maybe say 21st century spin on it. So I'm always eager to see young people pick up the classics, right? And do something with it.
Yeah, that's always, you gave great examples. I know both of those bands, and there's others that do it. You know what I mean? There was a big thing that happened maybe even 10 years ago that got a Sweden, a lot of Swedish bands embraced the hair metal thing. You know, it was like the new wave of hair metal coming out of Europe.
Yes.
So yeah, that kind of thing happens, and it is really cool. And you're right, sometimes they kind of mix it up and do something a little bit different than maybe the legacy artist. So yeah, there's a lot of cool things. The only sad thing is that there's no real venue for this stuff. You know, and I always get jealous of like country music, you know, that, you know, even Christian music, at least there's a venue for it. You know, right now there's no real strong venue for like hard rock music. You know what I mean? There's not radio stations devoted to it. There's not a concert. I mean, there are tours, but you know what I'm trying to say? I do see that with some other genres. You know, you've got a lot of channels and tours that focus on them, and you just don't have that as much with
unless you're in Europe, you know. Or well, and I will say there's a venue, and Wildman and I will be happy to give a plug for it. It's a venue over in Ohio called BMI. And Wildman, you can you help me out on the location there?
Versailles, Ohio, right outside of Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, and they've been bringing in, in fact, they just had Kix there recently.
They've had Rat.
Rat, yes. Yeah. And several others, along with some of the classic Christian rock bands, but the classic secular metal as well. So a neat Midwest venue that is really doing some good stuff there. But you're right. I mean, let's be honest, it's not the days of, you know, every town, you know, had their metal venue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even like with radio stations, you know, I think of all the time, you know, you've got a lot of Christian radio, you've got K-Love, you've got all kinds of country radio that's out there. You just don't have a lot of rock, hard rock radio playing new hard rock and metal. It's not around me. I don't know how it is near you.
No.
Yeah. So this might be a stating the obvious kind of a question, but that always intrigues me because sometimes I wonder if there's a reason or reasons that we haven't thought of why that is. Because I think the immediate reason, the obvious reason we say is that, well, you know, they got old and it's a generational thing. But is there something else going on? Is there another reason why it's not there currently?
Right. I mean, I've always said this, and I could be wrong, and I'd love to hear your ideas, but I think at the end of the day, if you put money behind something that's halfway decent, I think people will buy into it. You know what I mean? And I think you could recreate this, the thing that happened with hair metal in the 80s. You could have something like that today. If you look at country, the prime example, it's so much like the hair metal thing. You know what I mean? In the respect, the big shows with the pyro and everything, it's real shallow, a lot of it. I'm just being honest. Everybody's got to sing in that certain voice and have the cowboy hat. Yes. So that whole thing is work. It's been working for a long time for country. Why does it? Great. You make a great point. Why aren't we doing something like that for rock? Is there maybe not a lot of young artists that are kind of pushing it to that you could embrace? Because like you said, you hit a great point. The older artists aren't going to be able to carry this thing. A lot of them are on their farewells, but we know that sometimes that's not really farewell.
Right? Yeah, you mentioned Kiss earlier, so that was their fifth farewell tour now, I think.
Yeah, maybe we need like a bunch of bands to kind of create a movement, and maybe we've just figured it out, and it just that hasn't happened in recent times. I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we've interviewed a lot of young up and coming artists that are doing that style, that appreciate that style. But they, I mean, we have a one that they just now, after almost 20 years, I'm thinking of Chaotic Resemblance, Steve, and how they just now are getting to the place where they might. Last time we talked to them, they were taking the risk of doing it full time.
Right.
Even though they were doing concerts and in the studio just as much, they still the income isn't there like it used to be.
Which and again is criminal, because their most recent album came out about 2 years ago, but is just brutal. It's just fierce. It is phenomenal. You know, as we're sitting there talking about this, we often talk about the 90s, and we talk about how grunge killed metal. The more I think about it, I'm not so sure that that's true, because grunge itself didn't last. I'm wondering, did hip hop kill metal? Did dance kill metal? Because those two are around. That and again, as a high school teacher, I see you know what kids are listening to somewhat, and You know, and let's be honest, it's, you know, obviously, you know, Taylor Swift rules the universe. Beyonce, you know, and so you look at those kind of poppy artists, dance, hip hop. I think some hardcore rap is still very, very popular, especially young men and boys. But I think the other thing, and so I don't know, maybe it's just because it's, I don't know, easier to dance to. Maybe that's just as simple as that. I you know.
Well, I get into that whole topic in the book, A Hair Metal Journey. I cover that because what happened, I'm doing my own segue here, back to the book. No, what happened? So let me just tell you a quick thing about what happened with the book. So with the book, I was really just trying to put things that I did in different years kind of in order. And then, hey, surprise, surprise, I talked to hundreds, maybe 100 different artists who made the music. So we started to insert their stories and combine them with my stories. And we're going from 86, from when I got into it, to 91. And as I'm doing this, right, so that's all, that was my only intention with the book. Let's just put together like all these thoughts and run from 86 to 91, and then we'll insert all the interviews that I did with the artists as well. But the thing that started happening was as you put it in order, you know, you start to hear similar stories. You know, they forced us to do the power ballad. They forced us to look this way. We had the album done, but then they told us that we had to scrap it and put five more songs that were radio friendly, you know? So then the book started to take on a different life. And I think we do uncover elements and factors and people and whatnot who were responsible for the death of the genre. And not to give it all away, but we can give some of it away. But the biggest culprit is the labels. You know, you can only hear the same story so many times to say, like, there has to be some fact to the story. They can't all be lying, you know? So they all told stories about record labels being greedy, you know, signing a lot of different bands that probably shouldn't have been signed, oversaturation, forcing radio friendly music. And that's kind of, you know, where the book kind of takes off as we get to the middle of it. We start to realize, like, whoa, record labels kind of, you know, didn't do our music any favors here, you know? And there's other things. I touched on the grunge thing, but you kind of nailed it. There's not many hair metal artists that'll tell you that grunge killed hair metal. You know, it was just there. You know, it was the next thing that was there available when it died. You know what I mean? So I think that that's a real easy way out. I think if anything, you know, like metal scene was dangerous, like in the early 80s, and then it kind of got watered down with all the power ballads and the top 10 hits and all the stuff. And then Nirvana was just there to kind of be the way was, you know what I mean? They were just the nasty guys that were out in the early 90s that took the place of like the way Motley Crue was or Rat when they first came out. So I think it was just the natural progression of things. But yeah, I would say that grunge was the least of the culprits of killing hair metal.
You know, you talk about the corporate thing, and I think we just see that across the board, and honestly, really across the board in society, everything. You mentioned country. Now, my wife enjoys contemporary country. I can't stand it. Once country left about the 80s, early 90s, I can't stand it. To me, it all sounds the same. I hear exaggerated, ridiculous, fake Southern accents that just in an effort to sound country. It's absurd. I hear the same thing in the K-Love, the kind of songs that you hear on K-Love in terms of Christian music. Good Night Nurse. You know, how many songs can you have involve water and grace? And I was like, oh, come on. You know, it's not raw. It's not real. And so same thing then with the rock. And then we see it in sports, of course, all the time. It's the almighty dollar, right? And while the bands obviously can complain about it, at the same time, they enjoyed living high on the hog, thanks to the label, right? And so it kind of fed each other. When you want those, I think the bands that are still trying to do something and are maybe on a smaller scale, obviously on a smaller scale now, but really it's obviously not about the money anymore. And so those that are still doing something, it is about the music, right? They are still trying to do something because, hey, the bug is still there. The creativity is still there. But yeah, corporate pretty much kills everything.
Yeah. And, you know, you made a great point, and I talk about that in the book, is the bands. You know, the bands didn't have to agree with what was said, but they wanted to play along to stay successful, to keep getting that money, to keep getting that. So everybody was almost seduced by the success and the fame and all that kind of money and all that kind of stuff. So the bands have to be responsible as well. They could have said no, but they didn't.
Well, and if you look at, again, do you think about this, particularly the decade of the 80s, you really did have the rise of real middle class affluence. You've got really the rise of teenagers with disposable cash in a way that you really hadn't had before, coming out of the 70s and into the 80s. And so it just is also that time. It was a very materialistic culture. Madonna was right, right? A material girl. And that defined everybody. So, yeah.
Next week, the dynamic duo returns.
Join us next week when we hear Wildman ask this question.
What would you say is the biggest shock that you learned from all the artists that you've interviewed?
Same Wildman and Steve time, same Wildman and Steve channel.
The Wildman and Steve Show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com.
Sounds like rock and roll to me.